Thank you, Matt, and praise team, and Bill for playing. I want to thank the church for their prayers yesterday for Orly. As most of you know, he was cutting the grass yesterday, and he got kind of overheated and wasn't feeling very well, and he went back to the house and told Sherman, I'm going to just take a shower, and hopefully I'll feel a little bit better. And after the shower, Sherman still was looking at him and said, you don't look too good, Orly. Let's go to the hospital. But being a man, he said, no, I don't need to go to the hospital. And she said, well, how about if we go to the fire station? So they went over to the fire station, and paramedics checked Orly out and said, yeah, we're going for a ride. You're going to the hospital. And so they took Orly to the hospital. I saw him after he came out of the surgery, and he had 100% blockage in one artery and 50% in the other. And so we praise the Lord for reigning and ruling over Orly and Sherma in those situations. He cares for us all the time. Let's open a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. We thank you, Father, for brothers and sisters in Christ who care for one another, who love each other, who are concerned for one another. We thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers and taking care of Orly and being with Sherma. Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for Melinda and Mariah and what you're doing in their hearts and their lives. And just pray that they would just continue to walk with you each and every day, all the days of their lives, and that they would bring glory and honor to you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to ask you this morning to write a letter to Melinda and Mariah to help them with their walk with God, what would you say to them? What would be important for you to communicate to Melinda and Mariah about the Christian life? What would you want them to understand about the Christian life? Maybe some of you might say, well, I'd like to tell them that baptism is not the end. It's the beginning of the Christian life. Sometimes we think that if we walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand and follow the Lord in baptism, we sort of signed on the dotted line and now it's over. But our baptism is not the end of the Christian life. It's the beginning of the Christian life. Or you remember something that Jesus said. He said the kingdom of God is like a man who found this treasure in the midst of this field. And he went and sold all that he had to buy the field that had the treasure. That Jesus Christ is the treasure. And that when you become born again, you treasure Jesus Christ more than anything else. But if you're going to write a letter to Melinda and Mariah this morning and tell them about the Christian life, what would you tell them? What would you focus on? What would be your aim and your purpose? Turn your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John was probably written somewhere around 85 AD. John the Apostle is an old man by now. And he is writing this letter to Christians. Now all we're going to do is look at verses 1 2 and 3 of chapter 2. So if you want to understand what John would have to say to us about the Christian life, go and read all five chapters. But all we're going to do is just take one slice of the pie this morning and look at what John says about the Christian life. John is writing this letter to Christians. He is concerned about them. He loves them. He wants to help them to understand some things about the Christian life. And so he says there in verse 1 of chapter 2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John begins by saying, my little children. John's not speaking here to children. John is talking here about his spiritual children. He is an older man, and he's writing this letter to probably many young Christians, maybe some of those who have become converted under his ministry, and John sees himself as their spiritual father. And so he's saying, my little children, there's some things I want you to understand about the Christian life. Now, the first thing I kind of notice is that Christianity changes your relationships. When you become a Christian, you become adopted into God's family, and God becomes your heavenly father, and you're part of God's family. And you and I become brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus becomes our brother. And so what really is amazing here is I just baptized my daughter, Melinda, but she's really now my sister in the Lord. And I just baptized Mariah, and she is my sister in the Lord. And I'm their big brother. And I'm going to watch over my little sisters. And when the boys come knocking, I'm going to be watching over my two daughters, my sisters in the Lord. I'm going to be their big brother. Christianity changes our relationships. And when you start dating Melinda and Mariah, you need to realize you'll be dating a daughter of God. And you need to treat her with respect and honor. And so John is talking here in a very affectionate way, and he's saying, my little children, there's some things I want you to understand about the Christian life. There are two things that I think John wants us to see in our text this morning. There are two dangers that confront us as Christian people. The first is the danger of complacency. To really say it doesn't matter how we live our lives, it doesn't matter how we walk. I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to fall into sin. And so it really doesn't matter how I live my life. Jesus' blood will cover all my sins. And so you have this idea of complacency. And John says, no. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I don't want you to sin because sin breaks your fellowship with God. And God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And I don't want you to sin because it's going to break your relationship to God. So the first danger he warns us about is this complacency. It doesn't matter how we live our lives. We're Christians now. The blood of Jesus has forgiven us. And John says, no. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But then the second side, the flip side of that is this danger of despair and despondency. What happens when you do sin? Is it hopeless? John says, no. But if you do sin, you need to understand we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we've got these two dangers. We don't want to be complacent, nor do we want to be hopeless. So you have this command on the one side, I don't want you to sin. And then comfort on the other side. But if you do sin, we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So I have 2 points to my message this morning. Point number one, don't sin. Point number two, don't despair when you do sin. He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I don't want you to sin. My aim, my purpose in writing this letter to you Christians is that I don't want you to sin. Well, that raises a question. What is sin? How do you define sin? John, in this letter, in chapter 3, verse 4, gives us a definition of sin. In 1 John 3, 4, he says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. In other words, sin is when man refuses to submit to God's law. That is, sin is lawlessness. It is when you refuse to listen to the word of God. It's insubordination. God has spoken to us in his word. You understand what his word has said, and you say to yourself, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's insubordination. John says that's sin, that's lawlessness. So when God's word says, bring up your children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, and you make no effort as a parent to teach your children about the Lord, you sin. When God's word says, put away all deceit, and you distort your financial situation and you fudge the numbers on your tax return, that's a sin. When God's word says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such that builds people up, and you go around slamming other people behind their back and telling bad things about them, you've sinned. And when God's word says, honor your father and your mother, and you go around speaking disrespectful to your parents, and you talk to them like trash and like dirt, like they don't know anything, you've sinned. And when God's word says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, and you pursue divorce, you've sinned. So God's word is lawlessness. When you've said to yourself, I'm not going to submit to the word of God. Now, among civilized people, sin is usually this sort of disguised. We are very discreet about our sins. We take our sins and we wrap them in nice, pretty little packages called rationalization. And we sell them to other people and to ourselves and try to convince ourselves it's not really a sin. We'll say things like, well, I just want to be happy. Isn't that what God wants? He ultimately wants me to be happy. No, he ultimately wants you to be holy. Or it sounds so much better, I went to bed with her. I slept with her. That sounds so much better than I committed adultery. Or it was just a little white lie. What's that? What's little about a lie? What's white about a lie? And so we take our sins and we try to disguise them in pretty little packages and sell them to each other. And so we can convince ourselves there's no problem here. That sin is no big deal. You know, why are you Christians taking it so serious? John says, no, it is dead serious, our sins. But in our society, there's not too many people worried about their sins. There's nobody going home and weeping and mourning over their sins. There's not very many people who really fear God. So John's writing this letter, and he says, I want you to understand some things. I'm writing this letter to you, Melinda and Mariah, because I don't want you to sin. I want you to understand the word of God, find out those things that are true and precious to God, and walk in obedience to the word of God. And John is saying to Calvary Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church, I want you to be a church that is built upon the word of God. I don't want you to sin. I want you to walk in obedience to me and to my word. But then point number two, what happens when you do sin? Is it hopeless? Have you lost your position before God? John says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if you do sin, it's not hopeless. It's not all over. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That little word, we, is very important. We have an advocate. Christians. If you're not a Christian, you don't have an advocate. You're on your own before the judge. But he said, we who have been born of the Spirit of God, we have an advocate with the Father. And so, Melinda and Mariah and Calvary Baptist Church, when you fall into sin and you hear that little voice saying, God doesn't want you back. Why are you going to go to God in prayer? He's not going to hear you. Look what you did. You just messed up. He doesn't want anything to do with you. You're dirt. You're trash. Look what you just did. You violated his law. He doesn't want you coming back to him. And John says, no, 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 no. When you sin, realize we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. The situation isn't hopeless. We've got an advocate. That word advocate, it really means sort of like a defense attorney. An advocate is someone who represents another. He stands before a court and he presents the case for someone else. So when a Christian sins, Jesus is our advocate and he pleads our case before the Father. Now here we got to make sure our theology doesn't get mixed up here. There's some people that in their theology present this holy God to such a degree that God is unwilling to forgive. And that Jesus comes into the courtroom and he pleads on our behalf. And God says, no, they've sinned, they deserve to be punished, they deserve to go to hell. And Jesus is pleading with us. That's poor theology, because that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the one who had a plan before the foundation of the world. And it was this God who so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it was this God that says in Galatians that in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son, born of a virgin, born under the law. It was this God that in 2 Corinthians says it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It was God who gave us an advocate who pleads on our behalf. This was God's plan to bring redemption to us. It says that we have an advocate with the Father. That is, Jesus takes our case and he pleads it before the Father and says, I know that Scott sinned, but Father, I shed my blood for him. He's one that you gave me before the foundation of the world. He belongs to me. I paid the price for his sins, and the Father declares us not guilty. That's our advocate. And it says our advocate is with the Father. That word in the Greek, it kind of means it's not this idea that he comes and goes in the presence of God and represents us occasionally. The idea, he is always there pleading our case before the Father and says, Lord, I know they messed up, but I've shed my blood for these. Forgive them. And that says, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Isn't that wonderful words? This was the spotless Lamb of God. He was without fault. He lived a sinless life, and he is our advocate, the righteous Jesus Christ. And then he says he is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation carries with it these two ideas. Expiation, he has wiped away our sin, or he has covered our sins. He has put away our sins. He has rubbed out our sins. And there is no longer this barrier between us and God. That's the first part of propitiation. The second part of propitiation means that he has satisfied the wrath of God. So, John is saying, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to sin. I want you to walk in obedience to God and to his word. But if you do sin, I want you to realize there's hope, there's forgiveness, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and he pleads our case before the Father, and we are forgiven of all our sins. And we can stand righteous before a holy God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So Melinda and Mariah, I hope that this message will encourage you. I'm writing these letters to you that you may not sin, but if you do sin, you've got an advocate with the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. Matt, let's have our closing hymn at this time. I'm going to give this as a hymn of invitation. If there's anybody here that the Lord has touched their heart and life, you'd like to come forward at this time and give your life to Christ, we give this opportunity. If maybe you're visiting here, but you'd like to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church, then I give you this opportunity to respond.